Well, good morning, everybody. Isn't it lovely to be together in the sunshine and to meet together to praise God this morning? And we're a little bit empty today with all the YPs away. We make the most of the peace, but we'll miss them anyway. We had a message through this morning on our YP Holiday Parents group from Amanda. I'll read to you. So we've woken up to a beautiful day. All the group appears to be settling well and enjoyed a swim, chilling in the grounds last night, and then a talk series intro. A quiet day is planned today with church in Newtown and a river walk this afternoon. So lots to give thanks for there. Safe journey, all those hours away that they've travelled. And pray for them this week that they'll have a great time and it'll be a time of really great blessing for them. But a big warm welcome to everyone here this morning. So if you're online, a big welcome to you. And if you're a visitor here, then a big welcome to you as well. And as we praise God together, pray that we'll be united today. A few notices for you. In the foyer we have prayer letters for the YP holiday and the upcoming camp as well. I'd encourage you to take one of those and to not only take it, but to read it and pray it through as well. We'd be much appreciative of those prayers for both of those weeks that are now underway. On Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock, there is a special time of prayer for the young people's holiday, and that will be held in Chapel House. So if you're free and you'd like to come along, that's 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening in Chapel House. And finally for me, if there's anyone's able and willing to come and help put up tents on Friday the 9th of August for camp, then we'll be really appreciative of that. So we haven't got any help at the moment, so we'd be grateful, even if you can just come along for half an hour or so, to help put up a tent or put down a ground sheet. That would be really appreciated. And then again, taking down on Saturday the 17th. Of August. So if you've got the time and the ability to do that, then if you could come find me and we'll sort that out. Well, before we start our worship, I just wanted to read the first three verses of Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Well, we're going to start with a song praising our great God for his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Let's stand when the music starts.
Thank you.
let's bow our heads and commit our time to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this bright sunny day. We thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come peacefully to this building to praise you and worship you as you deserve. We thank you, Lord, you've spared our lives for another week. You've blessed us in so many ways that we could barely spend the time listing those things out. We thank you, Lord, for every good gift that has come our way. And we thank you, Lord, for the strength and the help that you've given us in all the challenges and difficulties we've faced during the week, for all the successes that we've had as well. And Lord, we give you the praise for it all. And now as we come to worship you this morning, we pray, Lord, for a heart that is full of praise and worship to you, the one true living God. And may our time together be well spent. May it do our souls good and may it bring glory to your holy and honourable name. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 71. If you've got a church Bible, then that would be page 484. And so today we're continuing the theme of continuing, and the title of the sermon today is Continuing Through the Years. So as we read through Psalm 71, look out for that word, continuing. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy and when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Well, that's the psalm that we'll be hearing from John preach on later. And so we look forward to that in a bit. But before then, we're going to sing again. And as we get older and further through life and we continue in Christ through the years, we're reminded in verse 3 that although we may be physically and mentally weak, our praise is just getting started. So let's stand and sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul. person down the front too. Right, good. Good morning. So I've bought in a wheel. And I think somebody was in need of one of these yesterday, apparently. But this is a great invention, isn't it? Imagine if wheels were square, you'd have a really bumpy ride, wouldn't you? And but I think probably the most important part of this wheel is that, the right in the centre. Okay, imagine if that was over here somewhere, you'd have a wobbly, bouncy wheel. And what it is as well is it's a place for all the spokes, all pointed there. Imagine if that wasn't there, the spokes would just be scratching your legs. In fact, it wouldn't even work, would it? Because you wouldn't be connected to the frame of the bike. So they're really important, the spokes. The centre holds all the spokes together. And it holds nice and true, spins around. Now, I want you to think about the Bible like this wheel, but especially the Old Testament, okay? When you read the first part of the Bible, okay? Because wherever you are in the Bible, Jesus is always in the centre. In fact, everything's about Jesus. The whole of the Bible is his story. So we're going to put him in the middle, okay? And when you read a story in the Old Testament, or think about Bible characters, in some way, they all point towards Jesus. Like all these spokes join in the middle and are pointed to the middle. All of the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. So what we're going to do, just quickly, is we're going to, do you want to take one of these each? Okay, let's stick it on the back. And you're going to come and stick it on the spokes. That's it. And there's probably, oh, they're all getting stuck together. That's it, just pull them apart. That's it. Good. Okay, just keep those two if you like. Okay, right. Right, okay, come on then. So let's have one of you. So your arrow's got to be pointing into the middle. Do you want to come first, Molly? So I stick it on one of our spokes. Arrow pointing in the middle. What have we got there? What does it say? Noah's Ark. Okay, so Noah's Ark was a place of safety for 8 people when the big flood came. How does that point to Jesus? Well, Jesus is the only place of safety from God's coming judgment. So that's what we think of when we think of Noah's Ark. Points to Jesus. Yeah, go on, Katie. Arrow sticking in the middle. What does that say? The bronze serpent. Remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites grumbled against God and God sent them snakes to bite them. And Moses said, what are we going to do? God said, put a brass snake up and everyone who looks at that will be healed. How does that point to Jesus? Well, Jesus told us, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man, me, be lifted up. And he was talking about the cross where he'd die. So that everyone who looks to Jesus will be saved. That's a wonderful picture of Jesus in the Old Testament. Okay, yeah, do you want to come and put one up? Let's spread it around a bit, shall we? Whee! There you go. Anyone will do. What does that say? Shepherd. What's his name? David, well done. Shepherd David. David was a shepherd in the Old Testament, wasn't he? He looked after sheep and he points us forward to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I love the sheep. I love my people so much that I lay down my life for them. Okay, do you want to come and put one of yours on? Oh, okay, the Passover. Well done, that's on. Yeah. So remember, as they were about to escape out of Egypt, the Israelites had to paint blood on the doorposts of their house and they would be kept safe. And that's a wonderful picture pointed to Jesus, who's called the Lamb of God. That's why he's called the Lamb of God, because he's the one who laid down his life and his blood cleanses us from all sin. Yeah, Harvey, do you want to put one of yours on? Another pointer to Jesus. What does that say?
Jonah.
How does Jonah point to Jesus? He was a bit of a scallywag, wasn't he? Well, actually, Jonah ended up, because of his disobedience, got swallowed up by a big fish, didn't he? And he was in the fish's belly for 3 days. Points us to Jesus, reminds us that Jesus was in the grave. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. Okay? Yeah, Flynn, do you want to come put one on somewhere there? What's that say?
Solomon.
Solomon, King Solomon, great King Solomon. What 2 things was King Solomon famous for? For being really, really wise and really... No. He had lots and lots of it. Lots of, yeah. He was rich. He was really wise. He was really wealthy. But he points to Jesus, who is far greater than Solomon.
and he is all wisdom, and he owns everything. Okay, well, where do we get to? Right, we've run out of, we've got a few more. Do you want to take one more? That's it. Look, we've got enough for one each, two each. You've got yours already. Right, kind of, let's keep going, as I'll get in trouble going on too long. Right, Moses. Okay, Moses, he rescued God's people out of the slavery of Egypt. How does he point to Jesus? Lots of these people point to Jesus in many different ways. Moses points to Jesus in that Jesus rescues us from the slavery of sin in our lives and sets us free from our sin. Okay, put one of yours on. Pointing to the middle, who have we got?
John the Baptist.
Well, actually, John the Baptist literally did point to Jesus. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He calls him the Lamb of God, the sin bearer. And he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So he literally did point to Jesus. Yeah?
King David.
King David. Okay, so after he was a shepherd, he became king, didn't he? He was the first good king. But he was only king for a few years. He points to Jesus. Jesus is the greatest king. Jesus is the King of Kings. And he's never going to step off of his throne. His kingdom goes on and never comes to an end. Yep, we've got a few more spokes left. There's a spare one. What does that say?
Joseph,
well done. Well, Joseph, poor Joseph, he was a good man, but again and again he got bullied and he got put in prison for doing things that he didn't do. He was innocent. But in the end, he rose to a great place of honour and power. He ruled Egypt pretty much. And he points to Jesus in that Jesus was perfectly innocent and he was bullied and he was killed on a cross. But Jesus rose from the dead to the place of highest honour, and one day everyone will see that he owns and rules all over all. Okay, Harvey, running out of space. One there. What's this one called? Abraham. Cool, yeah, good. So Abraham was told to offer up his son as a sacrifice. And God wasn't going to follow through with it, because that would have been terrible. But he was testing Abraham's obedience and faith. But in the bush was a ram. So instead of Isaac having to lay down his life, the ram was the substitute, so Isaac could go free. And that's another wonderful picture, that Jesus' death on the cross, he dies in our place. He takes the punishment we deserve for our sins. So this is all good, isn't it?
Adam,
good. Yeah, okay. Adam, well, Adam failed. He disobeyed God and brought wrong into the world. But Jesus in the New Testament is described as a second Adam, a fresh new start. And instead of disobeying God, he obeyed God completely. And he made people right with God. So that was really quick. And I hope that wasn't too complicated. But wherever you read in the Old Testament, always be thinking, or even in the whole Bible, this is all about Jesus. How does it point to Jesus? Good. Well done for listening. Thank you. Go and sit down.
Thank you, John. And that encouraging kids then, see how everything fits together, gives us even more faith that everything fits together perfectly in God's word. Well, let's pray to him now. And first of all, I just want to spend a few minutes praying for the young people on their holiday. So let's do that first. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the safe journey of the young people to their holiday destination yesterday. And we pray for them, Lord, that this will be a really enjoyable, a fun and happy week. And we pray it might be a week filled with many blessings, and that, Lord, we might see your spirit working in the lives of those young people. And, Lord, as they've gone in different spiritual states, Lord, some are already committed their life to Christ and some haven't. And we pray for them all that wherever they are on their spiritual journey, that they will be pushed along in this coming week. And Lord, we pray that this time away and the opportunity that brings to be more in your word will be prove to be a really great blessing for them, and it might help them grow in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that they will be an encouragement to each other, and we pray, Lord, that they will enjoy each other's company and they'll have some great times. We pray that you'll keep them safe in the activities that they're doing, and that it will be a time of great enjoyment. We pray too, Lord, for the leaders who have got so much responsibility, and We thank you that you got everyone there safely yesterday, despite a long drive, We pray that you will give them the patience, the wisdom, the energy, everything that they need, Lord. Suitably equip them as you know they need this week, so that they can be the good example to the young people, that they will be united in spirit together, and that, Lord, they might have that determination to reflect Jesus in everything they're doing, and especially as they bring talks and Bible studies to the young people, we pray that they will be of great benefit to everyone involved, and that they too might have a blessing from you. So, Father, we thank you then for this opportunity, and we pray that it will be a good week. We pray it will be a safe week and a time of great love and enjoyment together. And we pray, Lord, as they come home next weekend, that you will bring them home safely, and they will have some great memories together. So, Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's continue to pray now for everything else that's going on in our lives and give God the praise that he deserves. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to worship today, and Lord, we pray it might be a day well spent together, and a day well spent in your word. And Lord, as we worship you and praise you in this service, keep our minds clear, focused on you. We pray, Lord, that we'll feel your spirit blessing us and opening our eyes so that we might know more about you and your word. We pray that we will hear your voice through the different ways of that we are worshipping you this morning, through the songs and the reading, and through John's preaching in a bit. We pray, Lord, that we will hear your voice and that it will do us good. We pray, Lord, that we will come to understand more of the saving faith in Jesus Christ, that, Lord, we might know more about you and the blessings that you bring, the necessity of following after Christ. And Lord, we pray for those who would like to be here but can't be because they are too ill, or they are in a home and it's difficult for them to get here. We pray for them, Lord, that you will draw really close to them, that you will bless them, and that they will feel your spirit. They no doubt will miss the fellowship of being together with other people. But Lord, we pray that they will have the communion of the Holy Spirit with them, that, Lord, you will bless them richly today. We pray for those, Lord, who could be here but choose not to. We pray, Lord, that you will stir them up, that, Lord, you will prick their consciences and give them a desire after Jesus, an attraction that only you can bring, and give them a thirst after Jesus Christ, that thirst that only you can satisfy. And, Father, we thank you for all these opportunities that we have today, and we pray that we might make full use of them. And we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who might be meeting in fear of their lives as they try to gather for some form of worship. And Lord, maybe they can't even do that, and they're just meditating on you because they can't even have a Bible in their home. And we pray for them, Lord, that we'll keep them in mind, that we won't take our situation for granted, and that, Lord, that they might know the freedom that comes only in Jesus. Lord, we wouldn't want to wish them out of a situation that that actually takes them away from you, but Lord, we struggle to process the pain and the difficulty that they're going through, and so we pray for them, Lord, that you'll help them to persevere, to endure through the really hard times, and we pray that they might find peace in their hearts, even if there's not peace around them. Lord, we pray for those who are finding that their countries are the subject of war, and Lord, we pray for those in the Middle East and those in Ukraine, that, Lord, you will bring peace there, that you will overrule these difficult situations. And Lord, some of them are so complex and are rooted in years of history, and it makes it so complex. But Lord, we thank you that you are in control, and there is nothing that you can't do. Lord, you split the Red Sea for the Israelites, and we pray, Lord, that you will bring peace in those regions and an appreciation for life there, that so many children and innocent people are being displaced and even killed, and it's none of their decision making that's brought this on. And so we pray for those people, Lord, and we pray for your people in those countries as well, who already have difficulty in meeting together. And Lord, these situations are so far removed from where we are, but let us not be forgetful of them. And we commit them to you, Lord, and we pray that you will bless them in a way that only you can. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings to us, and we thank you, Lord, for on behalf of those who are in schools, that, Lord, they have got through another school year and now have a few weeks to recover and to rest. And we pray that might be a time of doing exactly that. And we thank you, Lord, for those that commit their lives to education. And we pray for them at this time of year as well. We pray for everyone, Lord, who has to work and go out and do business and be employed. We pray, Lord, that you will help us in everything to reflect the glory of God, to give our all in our work, in our service, Lord, no matter whether it's a big thing or a small thing, to give our all for you. Lord, we pray for those who are going through difficulties in their lives, with maybe with their health or their finances, their mental well-being, whatever it might be. Lord, we commit them to you. We pray that you'll be close to them, that, Lord, your word will be a comfort, that you will be the refuge that we read of throughout your word, and that you'll be a refuge to them, and that they might find peace and safety in you. Father, we pray then that you'll bless us now as your word is open to us. Change us, Lord, by your word. Don't leave us to leave this building the same way we entered it, but Lord, may we feel closer to you, may we feel blessed by you, and have a greater appreciation of who you are as we meet together today. So Lord, we commit everything into your hand. We pray that you will have your way, and that we will be happy to walk in the way that you've planned for each one of us. And Lord, if we are going through a hard time, help us to persevere, knowing that we are just living, that the world that we're living in is not our home. Lord, we're just on a journey. Help us to remember that, to keep that in mind. So often we get so sidetracked by the things that are that go on in the world around us that we and our focus comes off of you, and we get so lost in the detail. Help us to stop, Lord, to step back and to consider everything that we're doing in the light of eternity, in the light of the fact that we're not going to be here forever. But we thank you, Lord, that there is a hope for us at the end. And I pray that everyone here this morning will be found with a certain hope and praising God together in heaven above. What a day that will be, Lord, when we can come together and praise you for an eternity as you deserve, when all sin is gone, all sadness, all tears, all pain. And Lord, we can worship you forever. We can be there knowing that we are with our Saviour and with our Lord. So come and be glorified now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before John comes to preach, we're going to sing a Sovereign Protector. And the theme that we're looking at this morning is spoken about in verse 3 of our next song. I think on the years that are past, when all my defence you have proved, nor will you relinquish at last a sinner so blessed and so loved. Let's stand and sing.
So we have the last in this little series of continuing that we've been looking at in the mornings in July. And I'm looking forward to passing this one on to you. Hope it's going to be helpful to you. The theme is continue through the years. Continue through the years. We're in Psalm 71. It was read for us. So it's in the middle of the Bible. Be helpful if you have it open in front of you if you can. And maybe you noticed, or as you look at it, you notice there's a sense of the whole of life about this song. You notice something about birth and youth in it. Verse 6, he's talking about from before my birth, his mother's womb. Verse 17, from my youth. And yet you notice in it there's things about older years as well. The older years are in view. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Verse 18, so even to old age and grey hairs. It's sometimes been called the older person psalm. The older person psalm. And so with the YPs away, and camp next week, or soon, when we will be focusing a bit more on giving a message for the young, I thought it would be good to have something that was especially relevant to our older people this morning, those of us that have got a few more years behind us. I first heard about it, though, when I was in my 20s, and it impressed me then. So if you're nowhere near the older years, there's still plenty for you to take in this morning. And maybe you think sometimes about the passing of years, about getting further on in life. Perhaps there's been another birthday or anniversary. Some are hitting 50 this year, or have done. I'm just about turning 55. I'm certainly in my mid-50s now. Others have had bigger birthdays. Dear Margaret Payne in Millwood Home, one of our members, she's going to be 100 in September if she's spared. So maybe you feel that the older years are here, or at least now they're starting to log on the horizon. And perhaps sometimes that has a sense of fear about it. The psalm would imply that, wouldn't it, that we can feel like that. Verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Verse 9. Verse 18. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me. And if we're in that sort of phase or mindset, I hope there's going to be help for us this morning in this psalm. As we think about the passing of years, there's things we normally stop doing. We stop doing exams. That's a good thing, isn't it, normally? Maybe we stop playing sport. As we stop paid work, we retire. We stop driving. Maybe we stop going on holiday. Perhaps we stop independent living. Some of these things are quite hard to face, maybe. They just don't continue. They come to an end. Of course, some people give them great gusto even in the older years. There was this lady earlier in the month who walked to the South Down. She was 90. Her name was Pam Brooke. She was 90. She did 90 miles for charity over 12 days. South Down's way, I think. Some have great energy into their older years. But most of us need to stop doing things. Things discontinue. But in this psalm, there are things that this man doesn't want to stop. He doesn't want them to discontinue. He wants them to keep going through life. They need to keep going through life. And so as we look at this psalm, I want you to particularly spot three things that should continue through the years, even to the end. Here's the first. Take refuge continually. Take refuge continually. He'd experienced God as a place of safety in difficulties. You get it at the outset of the psalm. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Sorry, that's the previous psalm. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. God was his rock of refuge. And he expects that to carry on in verse 3. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. God had been a safe place and a shelter, a place that he could come to for protection. And when I think of this psalm over the years, it's made me think of New Haven Sea Wall. Hence the picture. That's what we've got as a picture. I think I've got a little bit more of a close-up if I go. Yeah, there is a picture of New Haven Sea Wall. So New Haven, pretty well immediately south of here on the coast. And before health and safety sort of gathered momentum, you were able to walk along New Haven Sea Wall. Now it's all blocked off and you can't do it. So I'm remembering in my younger years when you could walk along New Haven Sea Wall. And there are two levels of the wall, a lower level and then the upper level. And the lower level to the right had arches. You could go sort of under the upper level through arches and be under it. That's I'm hoping it shows up, and if it didn't show up on that, then even bigger. There we go. You can see the arches on the right-hand side of the wall. Now, it's quite good when you would walk along here, because in fairly rough weather, windy weather, waves would come over the outside of the wall. And you could sometimes hear them coming, or you could see the water up, and what you could do is you could dart under the arch to be protected. And sometimes it was, you know, it wasn't just a little splash. It was quite a deluge. It would come down on you. You'd get thoroughly wet. And in fact, it could be quite dangerous because there wasn't much protection on your left-hand side. And you could be carried away into the middle of the harbour. But you saw the wave come up. You went under the arch. You were in a place of safety. And God has been like that to this man. And perhaps you've found God like that, a place of safety, a strong place of safety, not a beach tent which is going to be blown about, but God has a strong place of protection and safety. Maybe initially when you came to him for forgiveness, you felt the dread, if you like, of the judgment of God coming over you, or of your guilt catching up with you. And then you found that in Jesus there was a place of safety, in his love, in what he's done on the cross, and you ran under the arch, if you like, so that you were spared and escaped. You were in a place of safety. Top Lady was a hymn writer of a few centuries ago, and he was travelling one day in a storm near Cheddar Gorge area in the West Country, and he noticed a cleft in the rock, and he hid himself in that cleft in the rock so that the storm went over and he wasn't affected by the storm. Led to that well-known classic hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed, be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. Have you sheltered under Jesus Christ like that? You found him a rock of refuge. Even as an older person, one of the joys I had in my earlier years as pastor here, two separate situations where people in their 70s were baptized as believers. Not just for the young ones to come to Christ. If you've got the years have gone by, you've not come to Christ for the first time, come to him for safety and security, shelter under his cross. But even if we've done that initially, there are many other times where we have to do the same thing. Verse 1, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. He's having a hard time now. In verse 7, I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. It's his ongoing experience. At the end of his life, if this was David who wrote this psalm, it doesn't say that at the top, but it's sort of David-like. And at the end of his life, when he's not green, but he's sort of been through the mill and he's clocked up some years, he writes a song in 2 Samuel 22, and it's along these lines. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Saviour, you save me from violence. So the thing about this New Haven wall is the arches carry pretty well all the way along. So wherever you are on the journey out, if you like, there's an arch there for you to run. It's not just that there's one at the start and okay if you manage to sort of be next to that when a wave comes. No, that you can see them. They're there throughout your route out. So whenever a wave is coming over, there's a place to go to resort, to take refuge in. And it's like that for us. And so this man wants God to be a continual place of refuge. So keep taking refuge in God. And you sense another wave coming. The big waves coming over. Right? There was another photo of waves going over, but it cost £35. I wasn't prepared to pay £35 just to show you the image, but the waves do go over, and waves come over our life, if you like, and perhaps you sense you've got a wave of ill health coming over, or what else might it be, the wave of loneliness, or the wave of criticism, or what it would be for you, the wave of pressure, the wave of big decision, the wave of uncertainty, the wave of changed circumstances. You've got old troubles or new troubles or multiplied troubles. And the psalm says, take refuge continually. Fresh waves. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I remember hearing, she was in here actually, but I remember somebody, she was quite young, she was talking about her mum who was a Christian, and she was saying, I talked to my mum, she's going through difficulty, and I just say to mum, mum, you've just got to keep taking it to the Lord, take it to the Lord, take it to the Lord. As though it was the ABC of the Christian life. Mum, you're forgetting, take it to the Lord. And it may be the ABC of the Christian life, but we forget, don't we? And perhaps it's, you know, you need that young voice of that young lady telling you in your older years, just take it to the Lord. Take it in prayer. Trust him. Go to him. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Take refuge continually. And then the second one, maybe you picked it up as we read through, is praise continually. Another thing not to stop doing. Another thing for it to be a continuous feature of life through the years is praising. Verse 6. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb, my praise is continually of you. My praise is continually of you. Verse 8 has the same flavour about it. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Sometimes a real sense of exuberance, elation, outgoing. Maybe in the tougher times, a sense of humble recognition like Job in his difficulties. But ongoing praise of God through life. You have it in the Psalms. I didn't know Luke was going to read 145, the first couple of verses. I was going to as well, and I shall. It underlines this point. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. And we add one and go to 146, and we see it starts, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises, my God, to my God while I have my being. We're forgetting to do that. It's the privilege of the believer to keep praising through life as the years go on. Psalm 146 is the basis for another older hymn. Perhaps you've come across it. I'll praise my Maker while I've breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall never be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. Perhaps you've heard of John Wesley. He was the founder of the Methodist movement, a great preacher in the 1700s. And he gave out this hymn that I just read through just before preaching for the last time in City Road Chapel in February 1791. The following Monday afternoon, though very ill, he amazed his friends at his bedside by singing the hymn throughout in strong voice. I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. The next night, his biographer tells us, he tried scores of times to repeat the hymn, but could only say, I'll praise, I'll praise. And with praise for his Maker on his lips and in his heart, he passed to that life where immortality endures. Well, that's not everyone's experience, but it's a wonderful example, isn't it, of praising continually till the end. What stirs you to praise? Well, it may be thinking of what God has done. Verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. Verse 19, your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? And we think especially of the death of Jesus on the cross, the triumphant resurrection, what God has done, and it stirs us to ongoing praise. But it's also as we look back over our lives, and this is the sense behind this praise continually in verse 6, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you have I leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. So if you're a good way along New Haven Seawall, you can stop and you can look back at the route you've taken on that lower wall, and you can see places where they're probably still wet because the waves doesn't tend to come over in all places. I don't know if you've ever walked along there when you're younger, but there are certain places where it comes over and there might be wet patches as you look back. And you can see places where the waves came over and you went in there for refuge. And you say, yeah, there I did, and there I did, and just before here I did. And as you look back over life, don't you find the same? You can, periods where the waves were coming over, as you think of it now, as you think back, yeah, that was a time when I took refuge and found God faithful. experienced God's love particularly, was carried through despite the trauma and the loss and the hardship. You have your own version, if you like, of great is thy faithfulness, as you think of God's faithfulness in your life. And it stirs you to praise. The young people were looking at the life of David, and one of the days this week they're looking at David and Goliath. You've probably heard of the account. And he looks back there. In the Goliath situation, he says in verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, oh, that was a wave coming over, and the paw of the bear, oh, that was another wave coming over, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. See, he looked back, and we can look back, amused on the years that have passed, we sang. Think of God's wonderful deliverances and help through our journey so far. When we think of praise, we often think of praise directly to God, don't we? But it also in this psalm is talking about praise to God to others, or praise of God to others. Passing on God's worth to others. It's so easy, isn't it, for us as we get older to have the blinkers on our life. It must be so hard for people suffering so much and so much difficulty in their life. And you can tend to get very introverted, thinking only of your difficulties. But in verse 18 here, the spirit of praise is to tell others. So even to old age and grey hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Lovely to have a sense of praise continually to God, but also to praise God to others, even as we progress on our journey. Maybe you've heard of George Muller, involved with caring for orphans. Well, in the 80s, he travelled the world to tell people of what God had done. Well, most of us haven't got the energy to do that now, let alone in our 80s. But maybe we've got other opportunities to tell our grandchildren something about the Lord in an appropriate way, to pass on what he means to us. Perhaps some can say something to the carers who come in to them when they're confined in their room. I heard of somebody recently thinking of medical treatment and hoping and praying that they might be a witness during that time. Praise continually, even in the older years. It's like the end of Psalm 92. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. So, going forward, take refuge continually. Praise continually. Sport may stop, the job may stop, the driving may stop. Don't let the praise stop. God is still the same and worthy of praise. In fact, you've got more to look back on than you had before to stir you to praise. And then lastly, maybe you noticed the third continually as we read through, and that is this, hope continually. Hope continually. He's hoped in God in the past. Verse 5, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. God gives hope. And that hope is not going to stop. Okay, the sport may finish. The holidays may finish, but the hope doesn't need to finish. And so he says in verse 14, but I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. A couple of believers I spoke to this week, both in very difficult circumstances, but both looking forward. Both having a sense of anticipation. Hope was still in front of them. I think of Marion. Marion, quite a character. You remember Marion used to be here. Largely confined to her room in Lewis, in Barron's Lodge nursing home now. Dependent on carers for so many things. Missing us terribly. And so wishing she could be here. Yet so looking forward to glory. It's not true of us if we don't have Jesus as our Saviour. The Bible talks about those people as having no hope in this world. But if you have Jesus, you have hope. It's transformative. And a sense of that hope seemed to be growing more and more, verse 14. But I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. He'd known great difficulties, lots of them, plenty of waves. But as we see the end of the psalm, let me read from 20 to the end. Notice how many you wills there are. He's had difficulties, but he's got such confidence in God. He has prospects still. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again from the depths of the earth. You will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteousness, help all the day long for they who have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. You might think it's just backward looking when you get to the older years and the difficulties, looking back to the fond memories of the past. But this is not the case for this person. He's thinking about the future. He's expecting, well, maybe restoration in this life. Perhaps it's David going through his Absalom period or under persecution, and he knew there would be a future beyond that. But it's more than that. It's resurrection language, isn't it? From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. With the New Haven Wall, one of the things of it is that pretty well all the way there are arches. So when you're at some point on the wall, we never know quite where we are, do we, on our journey of life, but when we're at some point on the wall, there are still, whatever the future is, there's still the arches to go into. And as you look forward in life, and you don't know quite what's going to come, there's still the arches. There is hope, there is prospect as you go forward. What an encouraging verse Isaiah 46 verse 4 is. Even to your old age I am he, and to grey hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, I will carry and will save. But beyond the arches of the journey of this life, one of the things about the New Haven sea wall experience is that there is a destination that you're going to if you walk along it, or when you used to be able to walk along it. There is something a bit special, if you like, at the end. There's a close-up for it. There is a lighthouse at the end, and if you walk to the end and you go up the steps, you have the lighthouse, and you can see the vantage point right round and see the coast along to the west. You can see the interest of the lighthouse itself. There's a sense in which you've reached a destination. You've got there. That's where the photos would be taken. And for the believer, there is destination. There is something you're aiming for. Miles better than a New Haven lighthouse experience. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be over me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Saviour has my treasure, and he will walk with me. Believers always have hope. A believer need never be robbed of his hope. The older preacher Spurgeon said, there's no date and place that are unsuitable for hope. Hope continually. Take a swig of 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So this writer of this song talks about hoping continually. Hope continually through whatever may come as you press on in your journey. So, many things are likely to have to stop as we carry on through life. And it's pretty hard, isn't it, for some of them to stop. But these three things need to stop. These things should keep going as we carry on through the years. Take refuge continually. Praise continually. Hope continually. Well, let's have a moment to just pray in response personally. Some aspect of it in this psalm is helpful to you today, and then we'll sing a closing song. Well, let's sing our closing song. I did quote from it near the end there. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. Thank you. praise you for the encouraging truth which we have feasted on this morning in this psalm. We pray that its truth and its encouragement will live in our hearts and be a blessing to many. And that we pray through Jesus Christ, who has loved us and died for us and is risen again. We pray in his name. Amen.